Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, and welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Thanks for that, Ron. I feel very important now.
Well, you should.
Hey, we have a new president. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is our inaugural edition. Not our first edition, but we have a new president. President Donald J. Trump was sworn in Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And he used not just one Bible, but two.
He needed double
because he's like, you know, it's got to be bigly.
That's right.
So I can't huge. Just use one. That's not enough. Hey, this is Shane Vanhart in the studio. We got Chris Roloff and, of course, Ron.
Yeah.
Brian Myers is at the inauguration. No, just kidding. He's in North Carolina, so he's on a business trip. So
he's closer than we are, I guess, in North Carolina.
Yeah, very true. So anyway. Just quick trivia question for you guys.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is our 45th president, but we've only had 44 presidents. You know why?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know that answer.
I don't know. How does that? I've never been really good at math.
Okay. Grover Cleveland had technically two administrations because he had one term. He lost. He lost re-election.
Gotcha.
And then he ran again. So
interesting.
That's why we have 45. It's the 45th administration, but we've only had 44 presidents.
Oh, interesting. But I gotcha. So he was counted
he was counted twice.
He did. He was the whatever president number, and then a different number of interesting.
Unless, of course, he wore a dress the second time, then we could probably count him twice.
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm right. Sorry, that was real random.
Yes, random. Inside the mind of Ron Carlson.
Was he known to cross-dress? Was he a progressive?
Maybe.
Maybe we could start.
With a name like Grover, what do you expect?
I know. I imagine him blue. That's the thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I wanted to take time this weekend to play the inaugural address. I was able to snag the. We're actually recording this a little bit later than we normally do. Usually we do this Friday morning, but obviously the inauguration happened Friday morning.
Yeah, we should probably pay attention.
So wanted to pay attention. Wanted to make sure we highlighted it this week. So we're just going to play through the address, the segment, and in the next segment, and just kind of do some stop and go. And Chris and I are going to give. This is really my gut reaction to the address, because it's not like I've had time to sit and process it at all. I've read through the transcript, and actually we've got the full address on video and transcript up at caffeinatedthoughts.com. You're free to take a look at that if you like. Encourage you to do that. Yeah, I'm going to pull that up too, so I have the transcript in front of me as we play the address. But go ahead and get started, Ron.
What a great honor to be able to introduce for the first time ever anywhere the 45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
Still unbelievable. It's a weird thing to hear.
Yes.
I was getting
used to hearing President-elect Trump. Now it's President Trump. And
bizarre. Yes. Even just hearing you say it again, still bizarre. They did a good job clapping.
They did.
Did he have a hard time
Chief
getting
Justice
to the...
Roberts,
oh, there he is.
President Carter, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, fellow Americans,
And people of the world, thank you. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Together, we will determine the course of America and the world for many, many years to come. We will face challenges. Mm-hmm. We will confront hardships.
He is leader of the
But
free
we
world.
Will get the job done. Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. And we are grateful to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for their gracious aid throughout this transition. They have been magnificent. Thank you. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning, because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hey, stop right there. That's important, I think, and probably going to be one of, I think, those more important lines in the inaugural address, because I'm not sure that's something I've ever, a populist tone like that. I mean, granted, I can't say I've listened to every single inaugural address.
Some of them happened before you were born.
Yes, yes. And some of them aren't, you know, there's no audio recording of them.
This is true.
But as far as, with the last few presidents, I don't think I've heard a moderate, populist tone such as this. And it kind of keyed off, you know, going into the rest of his speech. He kind of teed off on both parties. This wasn't necessarily a champion Republican address. This wasn't, it was really much us versus them. I am not of Washington. I've come to change Washington. You now are in charge, because I am here advocating for you. That's kind of, you know, the sense I got.
You know, I was listening to that, and I thought, you know, with Trump especially, this inauguration, I listened to the speech with the ears, of a very adamant non-Trump supporter. You know, that American who is disgusted by this event, that person. And I think when they heard that line, I don't think they bought it.
No.
You know, I mean, it's interesting, as you point out, that he spoke such to the every man, but he was a very unpopular candidate, and his election and his now presidency has started with not being the most popular guy. So it was interesting, because there's a large percentage of America that says very loudly, "You are not my president."
Yeah, which is unfortunate, that was something I never said about President Obama when during the time he was transitioning in after the Bush administration,
right,
to his first inauguration. I'm like, he didn't represent me, but he's still my president.
Well, and that's, I think, the hope, right, is that Donald Trump will, in fact, hold up to that promise. And we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, but
right,
the text I got in the middle of the speech from my wife was, "So many promises." That was her text to me.
I was
here at the station watching. She was at home with my family watching it. And, I mean, just... This is the first of big promises. That's not a small thing to say.
Right.
This is your country now.
But that's kind of, you know, that's the tone every inauguration address takes, is full of promise.
Yeah, well, we want to be hopeful, right?
So, yeah, we want to be hopeful. He does take a different tack a little bit later, and we'll get to that. But one thing to note, too, with the inauguration, Senator Blunt made this statement, and I thought it was very spot on. This process, this inaugurations are commonplace, yet miraculous. Commonplace in that we have them all the time. I mean, we've had, you know, obviously 44 or 45 different presidential administrations, but miraculous in that it's unique compared to any other nation in the world and in history, that since our our founding, and since the Constitution was placed with George Washington's, you know, first inauguration, that we've had a peaceful transfer. We've been doing it ever since, you know, our nation was founded, peacefully, between parties and people who are radically different. I mean, because, you know, right now we had president, we went from President Bush, who was compassionate conservative, to President Obama, who was extremely liberal, to now Trump, who's Trump. We'll figure out what Trump's going to be.
He'll be Trump. That's what he'll be.
But, you know, we've had this peaceful transfer. I don't think we should make light of that. I think that's something we need to be constantly thankful for, that we live in a nation and we don't have to worry about a coup every, you know, 4 years.
You know, this one, that's a good point. And this one probably felt closest, like it wouldn't have gone that way.
True.
You know, I think there was a lot of people watching their first kind of meeting, Obama and Trump's meeting in the White House. There were a lot of people watching that just going, how is this going to go?
Right.
Obama's comments, I think Obama has done it because neither of them have spoke highly of each other at all.
Right.
They were not buddy-buddy at any time or nice to each other. But after that meeting, even President Obama spoke positively, in a sense, about the meeting and hopeful to a degree, I guess. I don't know if hopeful maybe is the right word.
You know, he's done some things since in the transition with Russia and things that I'm not sure he should have done as a lame duck president. But
yep.
That's a whole different.
Well, one other thing is we kind of transition back to the inaugurational, the speech here, the inaugural address. That's hard to say. Is that he emphasized the peaceful transition. He thanked Obama for the transition being nice. I found that interesting that he didn't thank Obama initially here for being a great president or thank you for your service to our country. He thanked him and said, you did a good job with the transition.
Well, because then we're coming into the next part. Go ahead.
For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land.
Do you think there is he speaking of healthcare?
That all changes.
That's right. I think he's probably talking about a whole host of different things.
Okay, maybe it's just because it's on my mind.
Yeah, it could be.
He was doing it. This is what's fun about speeches is they're intentionally sort of ambiguous on some of these things.
Right.
So we can all insert our favorite or pet thing in there. You know. Yeah. This thing is the thing that really upset me.
That all changes. Starting right here and right now, because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people.
That's going to be a line that's remembered.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And again, I tried to listen as not a conservative or a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's going to be talked about because that's a good line if you were happy with the results of the election. If it wasn't, you're saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't get what I wanted. It's not
right.
My country. It's not going the way I want it to go. But I hope that people here that they can change, they can be involved. They don't have to riot. You know, there's already been the day of, there were riots and protests and violent protests and things like that already. So, anyway, that is a powerful line.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists.
I think he uses righteous in a way that I wouldn't. Kind of curious what he means by righteous. Hey, and this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the speech and more commentary in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
Well, we're going to pick back up on listening to Donald Trump's inaugural address. Again, this is Shane Vanderher with Chris Roloff in studio, and then Ron Carlson at the board. Anyway, let's go ahead and go back to where we were.
But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Okay. That has to be one of the more negative tones I've ever heard taken in an inaugural address. I've never heard of America described that way in an inaugural address.
Which line? The transcript that I had wasn't exactly accurate to what he was saying. So
well,
what
I mean,
line jumped
you
out?
Know, like, well, kind of the way he said, and the crime, and the gangs, and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. And this American carnage, that's a strong word, carnage, stops right here and stops right now. First of all, no. unless he's a dictator, which he's not.
You see, and that's the stuff that people are afraid of.
Right.
And you hit the nail on the head, though. That it doesn't just stop because he said that.
Right.
This is still America. We still have a wide variety of our freedoms, some of which are to do wicked and heinous things, and people still do bad things.
And I'd just like to ask, you know, Obama supporters who cheered the imperial presidency and the use of the executive order, are you still cheering now?
Right.
Because we shouldn't be afraid of stuff like this, because there's this little thing called Congress that should be standing in his way. And yes, it's Republican-led Congress, and they're going to pass things that Obama supporters will not like. That's consequences of elections. But there are things that he may try to push forward, things that maybe we were fearful of because of his temperament, that they can and they would be a roadblock to if he was, you know, seriously tried to attempt different things like that. But through Obama, we've escalated the imperial presidency, and hopefully that gets taken down a few notches.
Well, I don't remember which debate it was. I think it was in the town hall type debate, but Trump did talk about increasing things like stop and frisk in Chicago and things like that. I know some of that increased.
And those are things that the feds have absolutely, they should have no control, no say, no power over.
Yeah.
That's a local decision.
Right. But that's the kind of stuff, you know, an increased police state, you know, those things make people nervous.
It does. And it makes me nervous. Even though I want to see law and order, but I want to make sure people's constitutional rights are, you know, protected.
Yeah, it's a fine balance. But, you know, for law-abiding citizens, some of that stuff is very hopeful.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and pick back up.
We are one nation, and their pain is our pain.
Now we get to the unity
Their dreams part. Are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny.
Just an off-the-wall remark. They really need to get this guy some nasal spray. Just saying. Okay, go ahead.
The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. We've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. And spent trillions and trillions of dollars overseas while America's infrastructure has fallen into disrepair and decay. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind. The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world. But that is the past. And now we are looking only to the future. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, It's going to be only America first. America first.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're listening to President Trump's, it's still going to take a while to get used to the saying that, President Trump's inaugural address.
America first.
America first.
There it was.
Which, you know, since he campaigned on that, that's not.
That's good. He stuck with it.
He stuck with it.
He didn't change.
Yeah.
He didn't change on that one. You know, it feels like right now we've moved, this speech has moved, you talked about it at the beginning, very populist, very, this is your country, it's your people, this is a movement about you. And now it's turned that, not that it stopped being populist, but now it's taking that nationalist turn where it's really the USA, USA
right.
kind of feel to it. And again, for people that are patriots and love our country and are pro-America, that's really good.
Yes.
For those who
are globalists
and think that, no, we're just a part of a global world and that kind of stuff is bad, they cringe at this
stuff. I'm thinking that the right spot is somewhere in between.
Well, you know, I think
this is like a... This is a pendulum swing to the opposite extreme.
Shane, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Shane, and that's exactly what this is, because we did swing so far to a globalist mindset and all right. of the developing world and the first world everywhere. You know, most countries have swung that way, and I think we're beginning to see a swing back to countries and nations defending themselves, standing up for themselves, being proud of their independence as countries. And so we're hearing it here in America, and that's very exciting to a lot of people.
Yep.
Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never ever let you down.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, that's good to know.
America that was sarcasm. Will start Sorry. Winning again. Winning like never before.
We're winners.
We win!
We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders.
I didn't realize there were borders
we
left.
We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams.
Oh, here's the... I wonder what the emphasis in his administration is going to be. Listen for
we
it.
Will
I think
build
we get a clue
new
here.
Roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways all across our wonderful nation.
Think he's going to focus on infrastructure?
We will get our people off of welfare and back to work, woo! Rebuilding our country with American hands and American labor.
USA!
And this exactly USA! Is why blue-collar America voted for him.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that is the stuff that gets people excited. I mean, it should. I mean, infrastructure is an exciting thing because it puts us to work, because it gets us involved
now,
again.
I thought we need some improvements, but, you know, his description of our infrastructure as it stands today, decaying, and it's like, really?
Well, I wonder if some of those references were moral references as well.
That
you
could
know,
be.
Moral decay, that kind of thing.
But yeah.
I guess we can keep trucking.
We will follow two simple rules. Buy American and hire American. We will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first.
You know, can you stop that right there? In the transcript that I had in front of me, he says it's written this way. It is the right of all nations to put their nation first, which is similar to what he actually said. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly my point from before. I think that's something that as countries we've lost that sense
right.
that we can. I mean, it's hilarious to think that in the United States of America, his lines like this, his nationalistic tone is negative to people in this country. I mean, it's because we've been shamed into thinking that we can't put our country first.
Right.
And he's acknowledging here that of all things.
And foreign policies should be about putting our interests first. Now, that's not to say there isn't an undercurrent of compassion that could take, you know, that undergirds that when we see things happening in the world that we, you know, respond to.
Sure. I think people fail to realize that you can be a nationalist and not be Hitler.
Right.
I think that unfortunately people think if you're pro country in an extreme way, you're going to become a dictator and try to take over the world. America, I don't think, is interested in any time soon for a land grab.
Right.
We're not looking at taking over our northern friends or our southern friends. We're
Manifest Destiny's gone is over.
Right. Right. We just want to be proud of being Americans, and by golly, I think that's okay.
I think so too.
We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow.
See, well, and he spoke to this earlier too. I have to say that this is where he got me excited. This is as this speech really ramped up, and I got pretty jazzed about it. And here is one of those areas he talked about at the beginning. We've spent time, money, and energy as a country going over to other countries right. trying to make them like us. And right here, he's saying, you know what? In that process, we lost what made us great.
Great, yeah.
We're going to take care of ourselves. We're going to be great so that they continue, so that the world...
We can be an example.
They can be an example. And if they don't like our example, then that's fine.
Yeah. But not that we're going to force ourselves on them.
Right. And to think it's we've spent, I love that he pointed out at the beginning of the speech, that we've spent time, money, and resources to impose our ideology on the world around us.
Right.
And we couldn't afford to do that. It's time to stop doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God bless George W. Bush. I think he was the right president at the time we needed him.
Right.
But I think what we've done in the Middle East, you know, with Iraq and with Afghanistan, we're not good at nation building.
Right.
We just and I don't think that should have been our goal or our role. It should, you know, when it comes to military action response to terrorism, it should be, you know, the military is good at killing people and breaking things.
Yes, that is what they're good at.
And they need to do that, get in, get out.
Right.
And, you know, anyway,
they don't nation build. You don't nation build with guns.
No. Well, if you want to listen to the rest of the speech, check out CaffeinatedThoughts.com. CaffeinatedThoughts.com. We got the video and the transcript up. This is Shane Van Aert. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at CaffeinatedThoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. I'd like to encourage maybe some of our liberal listeners, if there are any, that you might want to take advantage of this service. if you're like sad and depressed about the outcome of the election.
Well, that, and I love, you know, Scott's commercials, features, whatever we want to call them, but you know, it's a pause for peace. You know, a lot of what Scott is really doing that's good is conflict resolution. He's really good at that, helping people deal with conflict. And there's a lot of conflict in the United States. People should be paying attention to what Scott's talking about way more.
Absolutely. Hey, I made an executive decision here because, you know, I'm the host of the show.
You're the executive.
He is the executive.
Kind of wrapped up second segment like we're going to just move on. But we decided, you know, it's important that we finish out, I think, this inaugural address, and because we got more words to say.
More words.
And so does Donald Trump. So let's go ahead and...
President Donald Trump.
Yes.
We'll reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth.
And libertarians everywhere are going, neocon.
At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country.
Can I just say, that sounds like, how does that phrase resonate with you? I know you like the nationalist stuff.
Can we listen to that again?
Sure.
Can you play it
again? I can read it here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, at the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America.
And how
can
does
you
that
say just, twisting arms?
I don't know. It just sounds kind of
free speech.
You will be loyal. You will pledge your allegiance.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, but
I mean, granted, yeah, it just sounds kind of creepy. I mean,
I get that. And we talked about this a little bit on the break. And I think, look, I'm a Christian first.
Right.
I'm a Christian before I'm a part of any country. So I don't bow the knee to America. I bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm thankful to be an American and count it a privilege and a blessing to be an American. But that's who I am. My allegiance is to Christ. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. He should rightly demand an allegiance to this country. I think that we've seen a shift in the United States where that makes people uncomfortable. I don't think it should make you uncomfortable.
It's just the way he said it. I get the principle behind what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's just that phrase just kind of, I don't know.
It stuck you weird?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it'll be... Again, I don't imagine he's going to have some massive police state and we're going to have, you know, tanks running through the streets of downtown Des Moines. But
and if you don't say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, we're going to arrest you.
Well, and you know what, though? And as an aside, they can arrest us if we don't do that. And the United States of America should be allowed to do that. You like that silence?
Well, there's a little thing called, I mean, to a point, I mean, if you actually commit an act of treason.
Well, but here would be the thing, because that silence was well placed. You could have inserted my email address in there if you wanted to. What I mean by that is, as a country, they have the right to demand, as a country, the country has the right to demand that. And I think that we love our freedom so much in the United States that we forget that the country has the right to do that. And it's a gift that the United States of America extends to its citizens that it doesn't enforce that. That's a kindness and a grace that it extends to us as citizens. And we take advantage of that. But we should remember, I think, that the country has the right to enforce that. We just lost that perspective.
Yeah, I want to make it clear I'm not against patriotism.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's not... It just... I don't know. The phrase... We'll continue on.
Okay. Sorry,
that's okay.
Will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice.
That's a good line.
The Bible tells us.
Well, again,
come on. Now you're trying to have it both ways.
No, I'm trying. No, what I'm saying is I'm listening here again with the ears of the non-Trump supporter.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? The minority person in this country hears that and says, nationalism does not dissolve racial tension.
That's true.
It does not dissolve those things. I think that he's got a false sense of hope that believing in America and trusting in America will restore peace. It won't.
Right.
That's actually not where peace comes from. The Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to bring peace between
Absolutely.
People. The United States can only be a heavy hand. I mean, a country is simply a country. It doesn't bring peace. It simply brings a sword.
His next line, he brings in American civil religion. Go ahead.
There we go.
The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
Okay.
We must.
I just want to. Yes, it's true. The American people are not automatically God's people. God's people are more than Americans. Americans aren't always God's people. That makes sense. So it seems to me, maybe he didn't intend it this way, but he's like, we're all God's people. And no, followers of Jesus Christ, the church, the visible, you know, invisible church, those are God's people. Well, the invisible church is God's people.
Right.
I guess there are non-God's, you know, some people within the visible church that aren't part of God's people.
Well, now we're going down that theology.
Well, there are people I don't want to be handcuffed to when the rapture happens.
Oh, I want to be handcuffed to anybody when the rapture happens.
Well, that's true.
I don't want to miss it.
Absolutely.
getting into that theology. But you're right, though. I think there, and most likely, Trump is speaking in that we are all, and he gets pretty emotional here later in talking about God is our creator. And in that sense, we are all God's people. We are all created by the one creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of all creation. So that part of it is accurate. Again, the Bible speaks to his people, which is slightly nuanced as a specific something, but neither here.
I've been a pastor. I kind of pick up on things like that. Yeah. I like exact. I don't like the Bible necessarily being used that way. That's just.
Well, welcome to America.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's a, you know, American. That's why I said it's American civil religion. And folks, American civil religion is not Christianity. I'm just saying.
Okay. And you can send your emails to. No, I'm just. I just wanted to make sure that you had the. You got kicked too. All right, Mr. President.
We must
President
speak
Trump.
Our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
Okay. God offers his protection, but just we will be protected by God. I don't know. Kind of a lot of hubris there, I think. And I also want to point out, by the way, Donald Trump certainly is not the first president to invoke American civil religion and biblical references within his you know, Ronald Reagan did it. George W. Bush did it. George H.W. Bush did it. And on and on and on. I mean, it's commonplace. So this is not unique. But I don't know. What do you think when he said that? And we're almost out of time.
No,
and we still haven't got through his address.
But I was surprised at the amount of God reference, and there's more to come. I was surprised at the amount of God reference that he referenced the Bible. I don't know why I was surprised, but so
anyway. Folks, this will definitely have to be the end of the listening to the address.
How do we hear more of it?
You go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. It'll be right in the front page. You can click the link. We got the full video, full transcript. It'll transcript as prepared for delivery. Anyway, check that out. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
You and your spouse are like two chemicals that become combustible when mixed. Your actions and reactions just tend to set each other off. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Early in your marriage, The differences brought fireworks that brought spark and energy to your lives. But the addition of busyness and bitterness have created a concoction that simply explodes and rocks the foundation of your marriage. Understanding how you and your spouse respond when threatened can bring stability to your volatile mixture. One tendency is to become aggressive and to push for solution. We call them attackers. The other is to run from potential conflict. We call them escapers. Two attackers have quick combustion, but the smoke clears quickly. But if you have an attacker and an escaper, the explosion takes longer, but the fallout can be more devastating. For healthy chemistry with your spouse, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077. And now we come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that's truly unbelievable, and yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Here, I can do it. You can't make this stuff up.
Thank you. If you didn't realize, Chris is the one that does that. We're keeping with our inauguration theme.
Yes.
And I want to, and Chris, you found some audio of Franklin Graham, whom I appreciate. Franklin Graham, I'm a huge fan and supporter of Samaritan's Purse, sure, and Operation Christmas Child. Obviously, love his dad. But... yeah, his introduction to his to the closing prayer.
Mr. President, in the Bible, rain is a sign of God's blessing. And it started to rain, Mr. President, when you came to the platform. And it's my prayer that God will bless you, your family, your administration, and may He bless America.
So you can't make this stuff up.
So what was wrong with that, Chris?
Well, we don't have enough time to go into what was wrong with that. But, you know, my first response was to smack my face, that I did a face palm.
Okay.
And my second response was to think of Proverbs 17:28. And that is, even a fool is perceived wise when he keeps his mouth shut. That didn't need to be said.
Right.
That wasn't planned. He didn't think about doing that ahead of time. He said that because of what had happened.
Right.
He just felt like he should share that. The problem is, anybody who's read the Bible knows that that's not even remotely accurate. It may at times be a sign of blessing, but a friend of mine, Matt Harima, posted on Facebook, it's also a sign of judgment when we think of the flood in Noah. Mm-hmm. We also see it as evidence of God's prevenial grace and that he lets the rain fall on all, the wicked and the good. So to say something like that was just foolishness.
It rained for Obama, too, during his 8 years.
There you go. And I think that that's – and the thing that frustrates me a little bit is not just that he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fine, he wanted to say that. But it was backed up by Vice President Pence and President Donald Trump kind of almost high-fiving each other and looking at their wives and see what I'm on about? God's blessing me. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
They sort of agreed with that.
Or you could kind of see it as, gosh, this is really dreary.
Right. Rain could just be a bummer. You know, it could be God. You know, anecdotally, most people think of it as God's tears. Now, that's not what the Bible talks about. But I mean, a lot of times, rain is not a positive image. And so he really went over and above and said more than I think he needed to say. And
right.
The thing about it is that
and everybody's going to be talking about that, not his actual prayer.
Unfortunately. And that's where he could have been smarter and seen as more wise had he just not said such a thing.
Yeah.
But he did it, and this is the upsetting thing to me, is he did it because it was going to get the reaction from Donald Trump and Vice President Pence. Mm. Because that is the tickling of the ears. When we say something that you want to hear, when I say men who have gray beards are blessed of God, I say to our producer, I'm saying that just to make him feel good. I have no authority to say that, but I say that to make him feel good, and I feel like that's what Franklin was doing.
Well, it's raining. We're going to have to see after 4 years what this actually means.
Yeah, right. I mean, that exactly. He could have said, it was raining.
It could be a blessing or a judgment.
Right. It could very well be judgment. It could have been the beginning of the 40 days rain, you know? I mean, I just, I do. I love Franklin Graham. Ron and I both were at the Capitol steps when he spoke here in Des Moines.
Yeah, I was
it
there
was
too.
So awesome. It was so wonderful. I love him very much. But things like this just make me chagrin sometimes when evangelicals are so quick to say these positive things about someone that many Christians in the United States hate.
Yeah.
I mean, Bible-believing Christians in the United States loathe Donald Trump.
Very true.
Some.
Yeah. And people who, you know, aren't people of faith look comments like this and, like, roll their eyes,
yep,
too. So this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Check us out, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.